This is a production of Cornell University.
This meeting's called to order at 4:45 p.m. Will the clerk please call the roll? Okay, at this point in the meeting, Executive Vice President C.J. Slicklin will conduct the open microphone.
Afternoon, everyone. Just want to remind everyone that undergraduate students are considered non-voting members of the Student Assembly, and they are recognized now if they'd like to address the SA on a particular issue. Please state your name and year for the record.
Before the meeting, we're going to move on to the approval of the minutes. In your packets, you should all have the minutes from September 13th. Any motions on the floor? There's a call for acclamation. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? All right, see no dissent. The minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements and reports. The first announcement is a spring 2008 elections calendar update from Director of Elections Mark Coon. Questions from Mark.
Mark.
Say again. I think it's gone. It's just not very receptive right now.
Was this calendar similar to last year? Were there any changes, or it just seems earlier than the last year?
Right. Well, I think spring break is earlier than last year. So I think it got moved back a little bit, but. Yeah, basically, normally the voting does take place in early March, but I think it just might be.
My birthday was on the election calendar.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Representative Astor. I don't think anything's being approved today. I think this is just the first time it's being presented to the SA. Just for any suggestions, Mark.
Yeah, this is the express request of Amy O'Donnell. I got an email from her. She asked that Yeah, I just got an email with that effect and solicited the committee's opinions on it. So we just kind of just right now, I think that's in general, saying there are any questions or concerns.
Any other questions from Mark? Okay, so no other questions. Move on to the next announcement, the Res Life Committee update from Representative Ron Salem.
So on Friday we had our first meeting, a few people tuned out for that. I think the issue that took up the bulk of our conversation was the possibility of a community center in Cornerstown. I know Representative Wang was working on something. He gave us like a brief like synopsis of what he was thinking. There's an empty space on the bottom of Sheldon Court, which it's like about 3 rooms, and we were thinking to like bring a couple of desks in, but turn that into some sort of lounge. Still just in the planning phase, we're just like poking at the idea, but hopefully in the next upcoming weeks we'll have like something more solid.
Any questions for Ron? Representative Salem.
Well, Ron, just so you know, there's a moratorium now on any doing anything in college town for like, is it a year? I think it's a year. So you guys might want to consider that in your future discussion. You can't really do anything with that space for about a year or so.
Representative Buttigieg. Just speak up. Okay, so outside of the meeting, Rami and Dan, just get together and make sure you guys are on the same page about this college town plan idea. Next update is an environmental update from Representative Austin Redmond.
Hey, everyone. The Environmental Committee met last Friday, and we had a discussion on just some projects that we'd like to focus on this semester and this coming year. Two of the biggest projects that most of the sustainable groups on campus are focusing on now are the Big Red Bikes project, which is the project to make these bike stations around campus, basically vending machines of bikes that you would like swipe your Cornell card and you would get a bike to use for like 6 hours, kind of like renting a bike basically, but it's in a vending machine. So, talking about that. And the other project is Connect ISCA, which is a fairly complicated project. The basic idea is that around the perimeter of ISCA, there would be the system of aerial pods that would you would get in and you would push a button and it would basically send you to wherever you want around campus.
What?
So, we talked about this for 45 minutes, and it took me that long to figure out exactly what he was talking about.
And then they watched the Jetsons.
Yeah. If you think of the Jetsons or Futurama, that's basically what we're thinking of here. This is a few companies have actually approached some of the main leaders in sustainable groups on campus and said, hey, we want to do this here in Ithaca. And this would be like a first for, I think, in the country, basically. There's some in Europe, but, yeah. So, there you go. That's what we're working on.
At this point, it will certainly be the most, the first time in the country. It'll definitely be in Ithaca if it does happen. And, what? That's my question. No, really, what kind of, are they like just personal pods?
Yeah, so basically they're suspended on these cables, and they're kind of like, up in the air, and you get in them, and they're like a four-person pod, and it's got like, some of the major destinations in Ithaca, like some downtown places in like the mall and Cornell campus, and you push a button, and it takes you to where you want to go.
Any other questions? Representative Harbin.
What was the discussion around the aesthetics of the campus and these pods?
actually, you know what? I hate to interrupt. In the interest of our audience members and the rest of the agenda, if we could put off the discussion, I'm sorry, on the pause until just a later meeting when we're a little less busy, that would probably be in our best interest. I think I do know what he's talking about. Go home and Google Wuppertal, Germany, and I think they have the exact same thing. It's like a suspended train with little pods.
Yeah.
It's coming to mind now. The final announcement today, provided you have no more presentations, is Vice President Lab.
Just quickly, I wanted to thank everyone who attended the SA Fall Retreat past Saturday. We had a great time. I think those there really enjoyed themselves, and those not there missed out. So, no, thank you. It was very productive.
Okay. So moving on to business of the day, the first item on business of the day is Student Assembly's allocation of 2008-2010 student activity fee. The first group to be making their presentation today is Cornell University Programming Board. Scheduled for 5 o'clock. I don't know if all representatives from your group are here. If they're not, we can wait and move on to our second group. Okay, we're actually just going to move on to the Collegiate Leadership Program first, just since they've been here, and we'll just let you bring the rest of your membership as well. Collegiate Leadership Program, I'll come up to the microphone.
WPP.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for coming today. And actually, at this point, I'm just going to move over to Vice President Gay. It's going to surmise the decision of the Appropriations Committee.
Good. Thanks a lot. Thanks again for coming, Robin. So it was a joy seeing you. The Appropriations Committee voted unanimously to support the request for allocation of $550. Once again, this is an incredibly well-run, incredibly important program on campus. It's a great service, and it's widely used by Cornell undergrads. And now I have a new liaison, Becca. We'll be working right together with the program. That'll be great. We only hear very positive feedback. One thing, there are no concerns on behalf of the Appropriations Committee. It's pretty straightforward. We wholeheartedly support this, and comparatively consider it and well run, especially the fact that they actually requested a small decrease in their allocation just based on responsible budgeting. So there are absolutely no concerns, and they unanimously support the full allocation.
So. Great. Speaker's list is now open. Representative Asker. Just, you know, speak up at this point. We can hear you. Just speak up. Actually, at this point, too, there's other people on the speaker's list. I haven't cut your time. It wasn't fair to cut because I never said that there's going to be 3 minutes to exchange. If no one else is on the speaker's list, we'll come back to you for a second question. Representative Salem.
Well, actually, I just want to say thank you so much to Robin and Jim. I really respect the fact, and I just want to get this on the record, I really respect the fact that you guys requested the amount of funding you need. Like, you tried that for $6 and felt that way. Just as well, and I just want to voice that I feel that's very respectable, and that's the program I feel very comfortable voting for, because it's sort of spending our money wisely. It isn't just looking at the 50 cents, but rather looking at it as students' money. And I just want to say thank you for doing that. With that said, I want to call for questions.
I'm going to call a question. Is there a second?
Second.
Sorry to stand. Okay, seeing no dissent at this point in the meeting, I'll give the Collegiate Leadership Program 1 minute just to make any closing statements. Vice President Gay, just a brief moment one more time to summarize the decision of the Appropriations Committee, and then we'll take a vote on the allocation. So you have 1 minute right now, just any closing remarks you want to make. Vice President Guest.
Yeah, I'm sure Beck's going to do a great job. So thanks, Jim. Thanks, Robin. And the Appropriations Committee voted unanimously, so I hope that we can get close to that also.
Okay. So at this point, just to remind everybody, if you're voting in the affirmative, you're voting to uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee to unanimously fund the Collegiate Readership Program at $5.50 per student. And if you're voting in the negative, you're voting to not uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee. Are there any questions? Okay. Great.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Here.
Yes.
I don't think you're here.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Unanimously in favor. Congratulations. Thank you very much for your time. Moving on to, if everyone wants to take a quick minute, grab ice cream. Cornell University Programming Board, if you want to grab some ice cream and then move over to the microphone, you're more than welcome. But everybody, just quickly grab it and sit down, because then everybody's going to look at it and want something. Go, you have 1 minute. Say,
Kai, you want to get me one?
What kind is it?
Guy's the man.
Vince, I wasn't being sensitive enough to you, so I brought you in.
Wow.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, if everyone could just hurry up and take their seats again, please.
Party.
I am.
Ooh.
See if they want.
Okay.
Okay, moving on business of the day, the next group is the Cornell University Programming Board. Thank you for your patience. We know we're running actually a little bit behind schedule now, about 10 minutes or so. The way this is going to work, the group is going to have 5 minutes to make a brief presentation before the student assembly, at which point I'm going to yield over to Vice President Gay, who's going to surmise the decision of the Appropriations Committee for Monday. At that point, there'll be a little bit of debate. People might post some questions at you. And right now you have 5 minutes, and the time is yours.
I'm
It's about 30 seconds left. Great. Thank you very much. At this point, Vice President Gates is going to summarize the decision of the appropriations committee.
Great. Thanks, Juan. And thank you guys for coming again today. It's my pleasure to say that the appropriations committee also unanimously voted to fund you guys fully at the 750 level. And just to reiterate, this wasn't a requested increase. It was the same level in the funding for the past couple of years. There weren't any big concerns. Once again, you guys have done a great job programming, budgeting, reaching out to students across the campus. So there weren't any concerns. And support your mission, so thanks.
Okay. The speakers list is now open. First on the speakers list is Representative Bates.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the budget really impressed me, the fact that you really have line items for activity in the past 20 years. That makes very transparent that you can see how well you guys use your money very well. I'm in full support of funding fully.
Really. Representative Azzard. Okay, I'm going to call questions. There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
You're not on the speakers list.
I was going to after.
Okay. So you're on a dissent because that's just your description. Just want to ask your question. Okay, so at this point we're going to be voting to vote. If you're in favor of calling a question, please. Representative Astrid throws his motion. Next on the speakers list is Vice President Slick.
Call the question.
Call the question. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
There's been a dissent because Representative Harmon, did you withdraw your motion?
Nope.
Does not withdraw his motion. We're going to be voting to vote. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. All opposed? Okay, hands down. Representative Wang.
Thank you guys for coming. I think it's awesome to speak to you guys. I'm going to give you a much wider. And I think the reason you guys have a cold sponsorship is the fact that you use more than 5%.
Now the men involved in Wing 4, Representative Hart.
And I believe it was at about 1,100. And I
40% rollover of your budget. $40,000, you guys get funded about $109,000. A 40% rollover just is
not 40%.
Like 35% about. It's really fine. That's just my concern. I just feel we should, the student assembly should more focus on the topic of the finance, because a huge rollover of $40,000 is something. I mean, regardless if we feel that's not a concern, we should at least bring it up.
Real quick, where do you see the $40,000 rollover? Just based on their spend sheet, I'm just looking at a $7,000 rollover.
In 2006-2007, there's a rollover of
$39,000.
That's just for that. I'm not
saying. Can the group go? Okay. The group can go ahead and just maybe explain what the source of that rollover was. And if it's likely to be occurring again in the future. Did you want to? Okay. Next on speakers list is Representative Coombs. No dissent. We're going to move on to a vote. You have 1 minute to make any final statements that you'd like, at which point Vice President McKay is going to one last time surmise the decision of the Appropriations Committee for Monday. You have 1 minute now. Time is yours. Vice President Jeff.
Yep, the Appropriation Committee voted unanimously, so hopefully we can do this again.
Okay. So moving on to a vote, just to remind everybody, if you're voting in the affirmative, you're voting to uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee to unanimously fund the Cornell University Programming Board. And if you're voting in the negative, you are voting to not uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee. Okay?
Yes.
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 She said yes.
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 No.
Yes.
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 Fox, yes.
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 A vote of 18-1-1, we decided to uphold the decision of the Appropriations Committee. Congratulations. Thank you very much for your time. Okay, moving on to unfinished business. First item on unfinished business is Resolution 2, a resolution regarding the change to the charter by Vice President Slicklin and Parliamentarian Redmond.
Okay.
Okay, so just to clarify, this is a charter amendment. It requires two-thirds of the entire student assembly. It has been on the agenda for some time now. We have discussed it multiple times. Is there anybody on the speaker's list? Vice President Gift.
Call the question.
There's a call to questions. There's a second. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Okay, seeing no dissent, we're going to move to a vote. Would you like to make any final statement? Okay, there's no final statements to be made, at which point we'll take a vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Okay. Five unanimous vote. Resolution 2 passes. Thank you, guys. Okay, next on unfinished business is Resolution 3, a resolution regarding the implementation of gender-neutral housing in the residence halls. A Representative Hardman, who is not in the room right now. Moving on to Resolution 6, a resolution regarding the present and present text of the representatives by myself, Vice President Gay, and Representative Lesbick. Yes.
It was presented at the end of last meeting for question and answer. The speakers have 5 minutes. Last week we spent time asking questions. There are only about 12 or 13 people there, so if I encourage all of you to ask questions as appropriate. I'm forming the speakers list now. First speaker will be Representative Basil.
Yeah, I remember this similar bill last year was presented because the penalty for not passing the test, I think, was not voting correct, not being able to vote correctly. Which some people saw as infringing on our right of representatives to vote and something like that. This year, what is it, one absence? I think that's very reasonable. I fully support you. I think that President Greenberg said it's about accountability as well as sentence sort of duty, I guess, and responsibility towards our position, which is the check and balance, check and balance.
Director Coombs.
I remember really clearly the terrible answer to it's a risk of work for record. I think these are the same objections that were raised last year. It's just I think basically while I entirely agree with the spirit behind the resolution and the board like Representative Basil just said as far as something that all FDA members should do. Remember, I think this was last year. It's something that we should do, that we should feel honor bound to do. I don't necessarily think we need to have any type of arbitrary penalty for not doing it. It's no matter what the penalty is, the idea of having one kind of runs contrary to the idea that we are, each of us, kind of supposed to feel some sort of dedication to our position and to people who elected us. So just for that reason, without voting against the spirit of the resolution, I would encourage people to think about voting this down.
Representative Asgary.
Thank you. To echo with what Mark said, the reason that I have come with this last year is because, for example, the student assembly 2 years ago put a charter test in, and not only student assembly members, but three board members, where all people on the assembly get a charter test, which is required for people who are on the executive board. But there's no kind of penalty, such as an unexcused absence, that they were given if they didn't take a charter test. I mean, the problem that I have with this is, one, this is not putting the place in the correct place in the charter, which is under membership, not under bylaws 7, which is committee. But more importantly, you're thinking of, like, each of us represents but giving us one absence, it takes, like, you're kind of removing part of that constituency's right to require the assembly. And so, unless you ask in the proper way, penalizing for not taking the test, the point being that we're supposed to represent this. You're not important as well taken that President and Treasurer have to take this test, important as well taken that SAC commissioners have to take this test, but the general student body has to take this test. No, that's who we get to represent. That's what the issue is. The other thing is, there's no time in this resolution for one to go into effect. And this goes into effect immediately, and this goes into effect next semester, given how close to the test.
90 seconds.
But I'd like to ask Adam, if someone who didn't take the charter test last year, what are your thoughts on implementing the test as a penalty?
Just to be clear, this is a question the President and Treasurer discussion regarding the actions before the amendment against the FCC. This is regarding our own operations from the FCC. Once again, this is incredibly important to the guidelines.
So what I would like to say is I'd like to ask some members who didn't answer my question. So the time going out my test to vote this down. Penalty is not appropriate. We should all take the CC test, I agree with that. We're more than happy to take it. It is not proper to penalize this point on the CC test.
Representative Salem.
I guess I'm going to echo the same concerns. I just don't think. First of all, putting an unexcused absence, again, when I talked to you a little bit about this last week, I don't understand the philosophical sort of, where is unexcused absence, based on what is this penalty the rock? I encourage assembly members to vote it down because I think that we have a lot of responsibilities that we're on our bound to do. I don't see any difference. I mean, we don't take a bylaw funding test, and this is arguably the most important thing we do. We never take a test on the past, what are the guidelines for bylaw funding? I don't have them all memorized, and I'm sure a lot of us don't. We didn't take a full-fledged test on the charter, which is, again, to me, that's more important than the SFCP and T handbook, because that's how we run as an assembly. So I just see that this exception is sort of unwarranted. It doesn't make any sense, and I feel like this penalty. Let's say someone had two unexcused absences in a row and then didn't make it. Now all of a sudden their seat is vacant. So effectively, you did deprive them of their right to vote if they had these three unexcused absences in a row, counting this one. And I think that using something like a test. Unless you put in language that says that this will not deprive them of the right to vote, I think that this effectively can, and I think any penalty that deprives an assembly member of the right to vote based on an arbitrary determination like that is dangerous, and I just urge people to vote it down. It's unnecessary. I think we should do it. I think we should all read the PNC handbook, but I don't think we should be penalized with something like this, something that's very arbitrary and strong. Thank you.
Representative Buttigieg.
I really don't have an opinion on whether we have a punishment for this or whether this should be a requirement, but I really feel that this should be a permanent issue. I think we should all set up and take an exam and nobody will be penalized for it. I think it's a really important thing that we all should do. We represent the student body.
Vice President Lavin.
As the person who takes the attendance every Thursday, I'm kind of concerned. You all plan on like using all of your aptitudes just to the point of you not becoming kicked off the assembly? That's a little disheartening to me. We have to hold ourselves accountable. I want to echo what Representative Judas said. This seems silly. We need to have something in place that's going to force encourage representatives to take this test. And he's saying, you know, Mark, you mentioned people should be doing this on their own. That's absolutely right. The honor code, if you will. I mean, I don't have to take attendance each week then. I can trust all of you. Just come here every Thursday and your constituencies can trust you. We have to do this. We have to hold ourselves accountable. It's the responsible thing to do, and it's appropriate then. You should support this.
President Greenberg.
Whether you agree with the right to do or not, it's can't disagree that it is first setting the actually this one of those last days ago. You know, do you want to stay or do we want to require something more of our immediate space? That doesn't really apply to us, that's not the case. This is one of those times where you have to basically just say, hey, you know what? We're gonna require somebody to do something, but take it one step further, we're gonna require that ourselves too. And that's a pretty important thing to say. You know, when you have the relationship with the FAA, the FAA,
correct something the speaker said. We've been discussing this resolution for about 10 minutes, and I've been informed the average time to take the TNT is about 30 minutes. So, moving on, Representative Hartman.
They are relying on us to know this. There's no other reason you can't ensure that everybody's taking tests. And the chart is clearly articulated.
have a question on general abortion.
The parliamentarian has informed me that you cannot do that. The first speaker's list is empty. Anyone to speak on the first speaker's list? The first time. Representative McGovern.
Oh.
Point of information, you can't fail the President and Treasurer's Handbook test. It's the forced learning thing. Go ahead.
Speaker's time has expired. Representative Wang. Not when I have you. There's been a minute and a half left to the speaker's time, and I'm going to yield that time back to the speakers, the sponsors of the resolution.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I offered all of you the opportunity to come to the question hearing. I counted up to three. And Andrew, I applaud you. You came to watch somebody, but there was no mandate to pass the hearing. So,
there's a minute left.
So, look, to get into the model, let's focus on what the actual action is. It's hopefully going to ensure that we don't, look at the time. Okay? I mean, you're getting caught up in the best bet, and I don't need that much, little, perfect time is not an indicator that something was a problem, whether it's right in action, so, accumulation of actions like that. Okay? We move forward with resolutions for something like that.
Speaker's time has expired. Liaison Poldy. Speaker has a minute. Point of information, standing rules are now updated every semester. Speaker's time has expired. The first speaker's list is empty. Is there anyone who'd like to speak for the first time? We will move to the second speaker's list, Representative Asgary.
The speaker has 1 minute. Speaker's time has expired. I'm going to limit speaker's time now to 2 minutes in the interest of fair debate. Vice President Lavin.
Let's just take the test. I will, as your VP for Internal Operations, I will schedule a P&T party. I mean, coffee and bagels. Like, just this is ridiculous. I don't know if this was mentioned when you were talking to them before, but what about making it from an unexcused absence to an excused absence? I also think they're assuming that they're not going to do it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. I will motion. Right. So I motion to amend the last clause saying, changing it from unexcused to an excused absence.
There has been a motion to amend the resolution to change the final line of the or second to last sentence to read from unexcused to excused. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Is there any dissent? There is dissent. We are going to form a new speakers list to begin discussing the amendment to the resolution.
I just withdraw. I don't know how long you guys are going to put
quickly.
Yep. I'll withdraw it because I don't want to. I want this to go more efficiently.
The Vice President has withdrawn his motion. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Salem.
Okay. I guess I didn't deal on the drawing. We are sort of going to start going around the circle, but I just want to answer a couple of things that were said. I don't think it's about being dumb. I think that there's a mechanism for us to ensure that you are representing the constituency which is your attendance. That mechanism has existed in the charter. But to add this new mechanism for this specific thing that ENT handled and not add it to the charter or anything else, I think is unfair. I think it's unwarranted. I think as Nasdaq said, and I think like the general sentiment I think would agree that, you know, let's have something constructive. I mean, yes, correct that people, if someone just refuses to go to a session and refuses to do that, well, what's going to happen? Well, they're not going to learn the PNT handbook, but neither will they learn the PNT handbook when they get an excuse or an unexcused absence. The fact of the matter is, if someone doesn't want to learn it, they won't learn it. There's nothing you can do that can force them to learn this thing. So I don't think we should look at it that way. And to argue that, you know, if
45 seconds.
At least we're all going to take it anyway. Why does it matter? That's like saying, you know, since you have nothing to hide, it's okay for the government to spy on you. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. That's not good logic at all. So I don't know. I think everyone voted down. I called the question.
There has been a motion to call this resolution to the previous question. I will point out that there are 4 people on the speaker's list, including 1 community member. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, I will recognize the sponsors of the resolution for 1 minute to summarize the debate that has gone on.
I think that we have
As a reminder, this is an amendment to the charter which requires two-thirds of the voting membership, so that's 16 in the affirmative. If you are voting yes, you are... Oh, yes, that's right. I'd like to recognize members of the community now who'd like to speak on this resolution. Is there anyone who'd like to speak? Guy Manza, state your name and year for the record, please. You have 3 minutes. So as I was saying, thank you. Oh, all right, go ahead.
Thank you.
The speaker's time has expired, but I'll extend it by 90 seconds. Would any other community members like to speak on this issue? Anyone? Okay. Thanks for reminding me about that, Ari. I appreciate it. As a reminder, as I was saying, the change to the charter requires 2/3, so that's 16. There are 20 individuals in the room right now, including myself, who can vote. I cannot vote, but whatever. Would the clerk please call the roll? Greenberg can vote.
Yes.
I have 12-6-1. By a vote of 12-6-1, the resolution fails.
Still holding the president.
You holding that party?
I'm already having babies. Hey, Mazda.
Cool.
No. No. You asked if you can make a motion. No, we're moving on to the next item on the agenda. We'll see how long the next resolution takes. I'll make the decision then based upon a majority vote. Moving on to unfinished business, resolution 3, resolution requesting the implementation of gender neutral housing to residence halls. By Representative Hartman.
Wait.
Say again?
No.
There will be time for community members to speak after the resolution is presented. Just in general. Yeah, I recognize the gentleman from the floor. Just speak a little closer to the mic. Representative Hartman, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you.
speaker's list is now open. First on the speaker's list is Vice President Gay.
Thanks, Lon. Vince, have you spoken with any senior administration officials? This is a noted change in school policy. So who have you actually spoken with?
I have spoken with Mayor Kerr, and I've spoken with students from West Kansas, where they think it's better that they spoke with having this laid out in the resolution. And he huddled with the
So you still haven't completely matched the administration. Okay, so that's one point. Secondarily, what other evidence, other than these qualitative statements from universities in the past saying, oh, it really hasn't caused a problem, what actually quantitative data do you have to say that this has actually improved? There haven't been any increased incidences of rape or sexual harassment or anything like that from any other universities.
All the colleges and universities that implemented it had a statement for me where they had no regret. The rate incident that you didn't talk about was not a concern for them. And it did not
agree. Right, but I realize you said it wasn't a concern, but there was. One of them, the one that you kept referencing was Columbia, but I believe they just implemented the program, correct?
I don't think that was.
Dartmouth. When did Dartmouth implement this new program, this change? I believe it was the beginning of the semester.
Dartmouth had, when I called them, they were in the process, I believe, implementing. But there was, I think, I emailed the whole assembly about workforce implementation. And that was a long process. I hope you guys had a chance to read it now.
So Vince, the point is that you haven't presented conclusive data yet. You've mentioned a couple schools you've contacted, but you still haven't shown that there's not going. What's been the result of other universities other than saying, oh, they haven't mentioned there's any problem?
Motion spent speaker's time. We spent speaker's time about 30 seconds.
And finally, this is a noted policy change, which you need to meet with enough people across campus to make sure that this is going to be acceptable. And it will be supported and it's actually actionable before we just go ahead and arbitrarily pass this. And I realize your libertarian philosophy about choices. Also, the university has a right and has the obligation to make sure that they're creating the best possible environment for all students and protecting all students and making sure we thoroughly research any policy change before we implement it.
Representative Coombs.
Ben, before I actually talk about the resolution, I want to stress the point that I feel like I've belabored for my entire time recently. I want to take one more time to do this without any disrespect to anyone. It's merely a philosophy of how to approach the assembly. When it comes to speaking to the administrator in the administration, we are the student assembly. It's our job to speak to the students who are our constituents. See what they want to have happen, we bring that to the assembly. If something we pass and the administration disagrees with it, they're more than welcome to chime in on that. That's why the president reviews everything we do. That's not our job to go to the administrators and ask them, how do you feel that this is acceptable to you? It's not a question of whether it's acceptable to them. It's a question of whether it's acceptable to the people we represent. I'm not going to come up with an analogy for that. It's a courtesy, but it's not a requirement, and I want to emphasize that. I would also emphasize that statistics, we have neither the capability nor the incentive to look up mass amounts of statistics. If there's anything that is that distressing to the administration, they can definitely bring that forward. With that said, as to the actual resolution, I had quite a few misgivings with it last time, the whereas question, which was very well expressed in the minutes from last time. I was concerned that some of the whereas clauses may have implied that we were encouraging people to live with members of the text. There's some question as to whether some of them was superfluous, etc. As this resolution is right here, there's absolutely no reason for me to oppose this.
But as long as you stress that we're either encouraging or discouraging this policy, we're offering people a choice they have outside of the university. The university is to prepare us as students for to be good citizens of the United States.
Motion to extend 30 seconds. There's been a motion to extend 30 seconds. 30 seconds left.
Thank you. I definitely see where Representative Farmer is coming from, and that he wants to offer students the same choice they would have if they were choosing where to live outside of campus. I think that's great because, again, like, universities prepare us for life outside campus. And I think the choice we should offer without encouraging or discouraging it, I think it's very important to emphasize. So with that said,
Vice President Slick.
Vote for that.
Vince, I appreciate you taking the time to make some changes here. It's definitely a more professionally worded document. I'm just still concerned about the fact that, you know, we've had a lot of issues of discrimination in the past couple of weeks on campus and throughout the U.S. And I applaud you for realizing that the implementation of gender-neutral housing would eliminate discrimination for students. I think there's discrimination within this, though, because I don't understand what fundamental change occurs between freshman and sophomore year. Why do upperclassmen get this right, this privilege to live in gender-neutral housing, and freshmen don't? I think it's a little hypocritical that says, okay, we're going to let 75% of people live in gender-neutral housing, but the other 25% of you can't. And, you know, the reasons we've used for the implementation of gender-neutral housing certainly apply to freshmen. So I am in favor of the implementation of gender-neutral housing, but not in favor of this resolution. And I'll give you, do you want to take a little time to respond to that?
Obviously, implementing it with freshmen is that some of them are under the age of 18, they are under parental control, and this is, that's amazing. And also,
what about like College Town and Hasbrook? I mean, Hasbrook, I guess, is an exception. But what about like Cascadilla and, you know, dormitories in College Town? I mean, why doesn't this apply to them?
Oh, the first portion you mentioned is about the speech on College Town, there are no students. The second portion would concern all
why stop at, I don't want to make that motion. I want it to be all dorms, all students. That, take it or leave it.
All
is that a motion?
Well, no. I think you have to accept that you can't do something quickly right away. That is something you've got to do.
Representative Don.
Thank you.
residential system as they will change their houses. And if this case continues to grow, and they will also cause problems to other cities. So my suggestion, and it's also the suggestion of Representative Tata, I think he is the chairman of the Residential Congress, that the neutral gender house should be applied to a special theme house instead of all the houses in Black Panther and future.
Representative Wang.
So I just want to make a few statements. So I went to the housing committee meeting that was on, campus site committee meeting that was led by Representative Hale on Monday, and we discussed about it, and there was a lot of positive feedback to the first part of it. We have a test trial period in which you allow students to have a mixed gender so that you don't share rooms, because you share
I'm sorry, point of information. You went to the campus life meeting?
Committee.
Oh, SA Committee of Residential Community
sorry,
Life. Because that's a different committee.
Sorry,
which
I apologize.
Okay.
SA, campus life committee. And there was a lot of positive feedback in regards to the first part of the resolution. And just having one floor or several floors is designed to be gender neutral in the suite so that males and females can live together in the same suite. I just want to remind you, something number is that you don't vote for part of the sense of the resolution, you don't have to vote for the entire thing. So I really encourage you to vote for the first part, which allows the week to have a mixed gender.
You can't do that. This isn't one out of
vote. Say
again?
You can motion to provide a question.
I encourage the community members to consider possibly that this first part is quite encouraging, because a lot of the fact that the SA committee has a positive feedback and unanimous agreement in the community that it should be something that should be done. And I have no disagreement with that. I do have a problem with the second part, but I do hope that you will consider voting for the first part, because I think that's a possibility. We're in America, we're a land of choice, we're operating. Thank you.
Representative McGovern.
So I have a few points about this. Just in terms of talking about upper level administration, I want to echo point, which is a student initiative or representing our constituents, even if every single level of the administration hasn't been spoken to. The residential director has been spoken to. I do think something we can implement so new people on one campus. Run those houses. So that should be something we really consider. And consider the fact that we're representing our constituents who want this. Most of them that I have. Also, this like issue of race and abuse to me is like a really narrow idea about gender and sexuality. Same sex couples also have abuse like between them. There's rape for people who are the same gender. So if we're going to say that like rape might happen, there's absolutely no data to support that. Like, I don't. That just seems like a really narrow unity. And we're not outlawing people of different genders from being in the same room together. So someone can be raped just by virtue of being in the same room, right? And there are also gender-neutral bathrooms that are on one campus right now, and on other campus, and there are no problems with that. So that's another issue that doesn't seem to make sense to me. Just also in terms of choice, I think Representative Hartman's point and some other people's point has been really good ones. I think we need to give a little autonomy to the students for choosing the people that they're going to be living with. I think they're probably responsible enough to know what the best choice is for them. I don't think we should be barring them from making the choice in the first place. And I'd also like to point out, this isn't that radical. We're implementing mixed genders in on one part of campus for upper class students. I think maybe the point is just a good first step because it's a really touchy issue, gender, sexuality, but not that radical at all. It's a good first step. I personally would like it to later be that all dorms are gender neutral or gender mixed, but that's not the case right now. And also, I think it's important to point out that for people who are transgender, for people who are gender variant, it makes it a little easier for them to kind of like work with this and have a neutral system. They don't have to feel that it's fine to be in the norm just because, like, they would play this in certain gender. I think gender sensitivity is also important when considering this resolution. So I would personally encourage everyone to vote on this and call questions.
I'm going to call questions. There's a second.
Second.
Sorry, dissent.
Dissent.
Well, there's going to be an opportunity for community members to speak. So do you throw your dissent?
Not really.
Okay. You dissent. You want to explain your dissent?
What? How many people are on the speaker?
Say again?
How many people are on the speaker?
Two from the SA and one from...
Well, I mean, we clearly have the time, so... Not that we should just drag it out necessarily, but if we have a couple of minutes. Also, Representative Dong has spoken. I'd like to hear from the other two Houston representatives to see what they have to say if they wanted to be on the speaker's list, so I think we should be given an opportunity.
Okay, so at this point, we're going to be voting to vote. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Four. All opposed? Okay, so we're going to be continuing discussion. Next on the speaker's list is Citizen Mods.
Going back to when I was, freshman in high school, senior going on to college trips, I remember sitting there a couple of months ago, and I remember the family on the poor guy that was talking about the gender neutral back.
Trustee Yee.
What's that?
Yeah, first of all, I need to clarify. I am gender neutral for my wife. Yeah.
so they kind of they want to keep the general neutral house and they do not want to run away from the whole community. That's all. Yeah, I think you should put that in the resolution. Otherwise, it will not be very clear.
You have about a minute left. Representative Asker. Representative Salem. I'll come back to you. Representative Salem.
I just want to say that this, I appreciate the spirit of the resolution that wanting to give people choice. I think choice is generally good. I agree with that spirit. I just honestly don't, I expressed to you this outside of the meeting, I don't really see the need for this resolution. I don't think it serves the Cornell community in any way. I think that, I understand, that, and you said what Ashley brought up in terms of, race that happens between state centers. I understand that that's an issue that should be addressed, but, I'm going to agree with Adam, I think, for the first time ever, and that, he's right on the sense that in terms of when it comes to race, just because it might happen to people of the same gender, I don't think it means you can facilitate, some situation where it's more likely to happen between people of opposite gender. I mean, I think that those issues should be addressed, and I don't think the appropriate way to address it is just to increase the chances. I understand there's no data you provide, but I think in cases like this, where I don't think there's a benefit, but there's a potential harm, I would rather avoid the harm than, vote for choice just for the sake of choice. That's sort of my position on this resolution. With that, is there one more speaker after this?
There's two more speakers.
I yield my time again.
Thank you. What I want to say, I'm actually supporting the resolution, partially for some of the reasons that represent the government. First of all, we technically have, we have legislative authority over campus life, but when we pass this, they're not going to put it into effect tomorrow. This is just telling campus life and administration that this is an issue of student concern, and they will consider it. We're not here, like Mark said, we're not here to look at, every single little ramification it may have to be implemented is not for us to concern. That's because people on the salary of campus life, they get paid a salary that can look at this. The problem that I have is that so much other resolutions that I've brought and voted down, this goes to President Scorton's desk. He doesn't get the minutes to look and be like, oh, well, these are all the reasons that Kemp gave me the minutes of why the SA voted down. It's just the SA voted no on this issue. And that'll make upper level administration decisions this is not an issue of concern to us, when in fact it is an issue of concern to us. I hate it when that will go to the administration to prevent the issue of not being properly represented in our constituents to administration. Like I said, they will be considering it. If we pass this, they will consider it. They will just say, okay, this is an issue of student interest. Knowing how slow everything in this university goes, it may take a year or two before you even implement it, if at all. If there's a roadblock, they probably won't do it, and they'll come back and they'll tell us why they won't do it. The other thing is, the point that Ashley brought up is a really good one. The book that I was in the army in my third year, as well as many other books in our room, campus currently has three bathrooms. So anyone of any gender can use any bathroom because we don't want to exclude someone who doesn't identify as a particular gender, for example. Given that, there's been no issues with any problems that I've known of in any bathrooms or any kind of grave in any of those bathrooms, any kind of sexual assault, anything of that nature in any of those cases. I mean, what other data do you want? How much data should we collect? I mean, we need to implement it. If it's a problem, let's go shut it down. So, like I said, Campus Life will research this themselves and we'll see how feasible it is before they can implement it. If it's not, they'll come back and they'll tell us that. And this resolution, I don't have it in front of me now, so my copy will. But it says on the back of it, it says on the back of it that our committee will follow up with it. So, yeah, the last time finally resolved, so we can follow up with it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people will not be voted down. If you disagree with it, at least abstain in the resolution. I've said the new student representatives who don't know exactly how to talk to us, at least abstain instead of voting it down. Because if you abstain, then at least out of the administration, they will know that you're not necessarily against the issue, even though you may be against this particular resolution, just removing yourself from this voting pool. So I'd encourage people who are against this particular resolution or this direct representation to abstain instead of voting it down, because otherwise, we're doing constituents of the school that are obviously important to some of our constituents.
Regardless of the reasons why, I just want to ensure that the members understand the difference between yes, no. Yes, no, and abstain. You understand? Everybody's good. Representative Smith.
Okay, I think this is a really good idea. As many people said before, Dan, we all know letting people live in the regional housing, but from a freshman perspective, I know there are a lot of freshmen who are over 18, and I just think it's really important. I would feel like it was unfair to me as an incoming freshman just not being able to have the opportunity, and I understand if you are under 18 how that might be a lot harder to implement, but I just think that this is, I really think it is a good starting point, but I think it, we should also consider trying to make it so we can implement it in the freshman dorm. But considering this is a controversial issue, I think it's important to pass this now and then try to work on implementing freshman dorm later.
Representative Craig.
I'd like to reiterate basically exactly what Representative Smith said. As an 18-year-old individual myself, I believe that I should have a choice, just like any other student in this university, to decide on whether I'd like to live in a gender-neutral house or a gender-neutral house. At the same time, for those students who are not 18 years old, they can simply refer to their parents, since them being the legal guardians, and then can get them to sign the form for them. So I believe there are ways that we can get around this 18-year-old, and for the most part, a lot of freshmen are 18 years old in the university. Additionally, I'd like to talk about potential harm. Coming from my dorm, I basically live a little bit down from a female room. There's not much difference if we're just having gender-neutral dorms or gender-neutral suites. We still have separate rooms from each other. I'm not saying that I would want to do anything or if any student would want to do anything, but there's really no difference when we're talking about rape, whether we're living, say, right next to each other or across the wall from each other or right across from each other. Also, coming from that perspective, I have a female RA, so I don't feel that there's any big difference in having all these different rooms together. So connecting that, I think we should really look into implementing this again on North Campus. We have houses freshmen can choose to live in vaults, a gender-restricted dorm. They can choose to live in floors where there are gender-neutral floors, or they can choose to live in gender-restricted floors. I feel that we should have this same choice for freshmen on North Campus. And that's what I'd like to see implement.
Vice President Slickman.
I motion to call the question.
Second.
We're going to call a question. That's just a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Who dissented?
Blank.
Why are you dissenting?
I dissented as well.
Well, hold on. I recognize the dissent. If you want to hear those speakers, right now we're on the second speaker's list. So every speaker that's on the second speaker's list has already spoken. Slickman called the question. So we have still have McGovern, yourself, and Representative Dong. Still been speaking everything. Okay. So at this point, we're going to vote to vote. All in favor of calling the previous question, please raise your hand. All opposed? one, two, three, four. Eight to seven? Yes. Sorry. Okay, so the motion fails. Moving on along on the second speaker's list. Representative Gunn. No, you want to stick on the second. Stick on the second. I guess. Representative Wang.
Sorry, I apologize for taking everyone's time, but I wanted to mention that we definitely should go on this today. The housing lobby is going to start on the West Campus, and we want to make any changes needed. The administration needs to know as soon as possible so that we can keep this in effect for the housing lobby for West Campus and for the housing lobby next semester. If you want to emphasize that point. I also want to emphasize that I have a motion to go.
Motion to divide the question.
Go ahead.
On a motion to divide the question, is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. At this point, is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay, there's dissent. Take a second and explain your dissent.
I think we should vote straight up on this resolution. I think this resolution, no part of this resolution should pass.
Okay, so at this point we're going to be motioning to divide the question. Parliamentarian, this is a two-thirds decision to divide the
majority.
Majority decision to divide the question. Okay, so at this point, all in favor of...
Can I have the point of information, so each be it resolved positively is a separate question, is that correct?
Is that how you want to divide the question?
No. Just the first...
Well, hold on.
Point of order.
Wait. How did you want to divide the question?
Well,
when you made the motion to divide the question, what did you have in mind?
So be it therefore resolved with this first, whereas with the be it therefore resolved with one part, and the back part,
which is different. So pretty much the front of the page versus the back of the page.
Well, okay. But also include the actual part, and include the be it finally resolved that part, actually include that on the front part. It's not separate, wait, be it therefore resolved.
Okay, so at this point we're going to be voting to...
At the point of the parliamentary proceedings?
Yes.
After voting on the departure, asking whether we should divide the question, are we immediately moving into voting proceedings?
If we pass right now to divide the question, then we're going to be moving into voting proceedings, yes. Okay, so at this point, we're going to be voting to divide the question. This requires a simple majority. All in favor of...
Hold on.
Can you speak up? Representative Wang, you want to describe how we're going to divide in the resolution again?
Sure. So we would definitely keep that with the whereas clause. We would also keep the therefore resolve that whole state finance page statement and keep that together.
So my suggestion is, what about we delete the places where
gender neutral
houses
are? Okay, then that's fine. Where does the amendment go?
Yeah. Hold on,
that
means what do you do?
What word of the chair, like,
hold
he doesn't know what the motion he's making, and like,
yeah, Representative Wang, I was just wondering if you can clarify, please, when you made the motion, how did you intend the motion to be?
So
front page and the back page with the last line included. So we're going to vote on the front page, and the last line is one clause, and the first line on the last page is the second clause. Okay. In the future, no points of parliamentary inquiry, no points of information, no points of clarification during the voting process. So at this point, all in favor of moving to divide the question. This requires a simple majority. Please raise your hand. Three. All opposed.
Hold on.
Hold on. Or in the middle of the vote. Wait. 12. Okay. So the motion to divide the question failed. You have a point of order.
I just wanted to say, because the point that Representative Craig brought up about how we move legally into voting procedure, I believe that a divide the question can only be made once we move the previous question.
No, it can be made at any time. I mean, it can't be made while somebody else is talking.
Right.
But in between speakers, yeah, you can.
We'll check on that. Either way, the motion is about the question fails at this point. I'm going to move on to the next person on the speaker's list, Representative Don.
So, I just wanted to mention, my
a minute left, Representative Horner. Speaker's time has expired. Vice President Lavin.
Uh-oh. Did I say anything? Okay, yeah. I think, at least from what I'm hearing, I think we support this resolution. I most support this resolution, how it is right now. Some of the changes that were being discussed, I appreciate the freshman perspective and incorporating North Campus, but I think what Representative Asbury was saying before when this gets put on the president's desk and other administrators' desks, we want to be as strategic as possible and keeping that in mind. So this very much has to be a pilot program. It will be, regardless of what we decide. If something happens, it will be a pilot program in the beginning. And it's smarter to not have it extend to all campuses. To start small and then for it to grow. So I would not agree with extending it to North Campus. I would keep it on West Campus where upperclassmen are. And obviously have the program progresses, change it accordingly. So I would motion, call the question. Call the question.
There's a call question. There's a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent.
I'll take a few seconds to explain dissent.
Seeing that there are still some more speakers on the speakers list, we're talking about a possible amendment to this given resolution. Therefore, we'd like to at least get the chance to say it before we move to voting procedure.
Has the amendment been made yet?
No.
Motion to amend? Okay, so at this point, Representative Craig, do you have an amendment in mind?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Representative Salem is next on the speakers list. So I'm going to move to Representative Salem, I'm going to Representative Craig.
My personal preference has nothing to do with this. I just don't think the resolution outlines for me the benefit enough to undertake potential harm. Because when you undertake a new idea and you take a risk, I think you recognize that there is a potential harm. And I think that in that recognition, I would have to have some sort of benefit. And I just don't buy the benefits that have been presented. I don't think they have been quantified well enough. And it has nothing to do with my personal preference. I've always lived in a single, so I don't really care who is next to me. But that's just my, you know, that's my 2 cents worth. I yield my time to chair.
I'm going to move the remainder of the time to Representative Craig to make his amendment. There's a minute and a half left.
like to first respond to the point by Representative Lavender. I think, yes, we do need to remember that we do need to be strategic about this, but that does not mean we forget about the whole group of student body. Making the point well made while we're being on the speaker, the President will see that we do want this issue to be evaluated. However, I think we also need to say, let's not forget about the freshmen, because there are freshmen on this campus. With that, I motion to amend the resolution.
Okay, there's been a motion to amend the resolution. Is there a second?
What's the amendment?
Yeah. To the amendment.
Clause one, strike non-freshmen.
Okay. Clause
so
one.
Read all participating students that are over the age of 18.
Okay, so the motion to amend is to amend the first clause of the person, be it therefore resolved, saying all participating students are over the age of 18. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Oh, rather.
Wait, is there
more
to
the
amendment?
Second?
Is there more to the
amendment?
And there's also... Yes, at the end of the resolution, adding to the final clause, where it reads, be it finally resolved that the Ethics Committee on Residence and Campus Life will further study the implementation of gender-neutral housing in the 2008-2009 academic year, and then add to that, and will additionally research the implementation of such housing in first-year residence halls.
And will additionally research
the implementation of such housing in first-year residence halls.
And then be it further resolved clause is also something that non-freshman
students. And then again, as pointed in the be it resolved, a little bit above it, striking non-freshmen out of that clause as well.
All participating students are over the age of 18. Okay, in light of these amendments, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, well, there's been a second made to the amendment. He just did that. That's what we just
said. No, no.
Where do you see that? Okay, so the final, be it further resolved that select non-single rooms on West Campus. Is there any other West Campus allusions to? You know? Okay, just want to strike West. From, so, are you amending this to strike West as well?
Yes, strike West as well.
Okay, so the amendments are as follows. First amendment is the first clause of first be it therefore resolved that will read all participating students are over the age of 18. Second amendment is the next be it further resolved to strike West that will read be it further resolved that select non-single rooms on campus beginning in the fall of 2008 will be designated as gender neutral with the following stipulations. The third amendment is to the first clause to be it further resolved, saying all participating students are over the age of 18, and the be it finally resolved will read that the Ethics Committee on Residence and Campus Life will further study the implementation of gender-neutral housing in 2008-2009 academic year, and will additionally research the implementation of such housing in first-year residence halls. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Okay.
A one. What? You just named them off as separate amendments?
No, these are all going to be one amendment.
Okay.
Okay, so at this point, how do you find these amendments? Do you accept these amendments? Which portion didn't you hear?
You want to put in the committee, you want to have a research question, you want to eliminate clause one, so it's not a question.
So it just says over the age of 18 in both places.
It is to be therefore resolved for the clause to go only for.
Okay, well, either way, the amendment at this point has been made. We can make a further amendment to amend the resolution as needed. There's an amendment has been made, a second has been made. At this point, Parliamentarian, so for the amendment,
does he just have to accept the amendment?
Yeah.
We just vote on it by majority.
Okay, so at this point, we're going to be debating the amendment. Ahmed, do you want to debate the amendment?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
I was going to call the question.
Okay, so Ahmed was first. The speaker's list is going to call a question on the amendment. There's been a second. Was there any Can you accept dissent on the amendments?
Yes.
Is there any dissent? Okay, see no dissent. We're going to move to a vote. All in favor of the amendments as specified, please raise your hand. How many? Okay. All opposed? passed by 2. And any abstentions? 2 abstentions. So by a vote of 9-5-2, these amendments pass. At this point, we're going to move on to the next person on the speaker's list, which is... Representative Craig spoke. We're on the third speaker's list next. Anybody who has not spoken on the second speaker's list, Representative Hartman. Thank you very much, Dean Hubble. Representative Coombs.
The ballot call question.
I'm going to call a question. It's multiple seconds. Any dissent? Okay, see no dissent. I'm going to call for questions. Representative Hartman, if you want to take 1 minute to make any final statements.
Abstain.
Yes. Podcast. By a vote of 9-5, Resolution 3 passes. Congratulations, Vince. Second. There's been a motion to adjourn. There's been a second. As I dissent. See no dissent. Enjoy your fall break.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.